The revolution will be broadcast.
Does that sound exciting to you?
Welcome back, Shatter Nation, to the one, the only, mystifying,
wait for it,
Oracle Radio, your ghost man and demon hunter show, Demon Hunter!
Yes, sir, that was scary, that was really scary.
That was spooky for a second there. Hey, special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher? That's right, Stitcher Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Spreaker, Paranormal Way Radio Network, our buddies in Canada Land. Yeah, Attentive Home Health. Yeah, Canada. Attentive Home Healthcare, good people ready to help the ones you love, especially if you're in Indianapolis, because that's where they're at, folks. Check them out at attentivehhc.com. The SYL Project, of course, give some love, share some love. Hey, Nathan, everybody needs love. Check them out at SYLproject.com, sir. Yes! Yes, sir, Reba, we are back in studio. It's amazing we made it back.
It is. Mm-hmm. I am so happy we are here.
Yeah, been doing your road tours.
I have. I'll tell you one thing. Trying to get some sleep in between all that.
I know, exactly. And we officially went back on the road, last weekend?
Yeah.
Last weekend. It's so hard to believe, guys. Nathan flew in, and of course we started our road circuit. We used to do a lot of local paranormal conferences, God, for years, and we decided if we were going to go back, we were going to wait for something big, and of course, Comic-Con started calling, and who can pass that up?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, hey, to the people at Indiana Comic-Con, guys, thanks so much on behalf of Nathan and I, right, Nate?
What an incredibly well-run program, too, Sean.
Oh, my God, it was amazing, and I got to tell you, it was just, we actually showed up. And we were so used to working the paranormal circuit to where you would show up and they had nothing available. Now, all of a sudden, we show up at Comic-Con and they're like, yeah, guys, turn
what
on
the... What do you need? We've got all this already set up for you.
Yeah. Turn on the computer, plug this in, and away you go. Yeah. I thought it was amazing. So, special thanks, guys, to Indiana Comic-Con. You guys rock. And, of course, Nathan, we might have PopCon coming up.
That would be sweet.
That would be cool. What do you think PopCon is? What do you think it is?
Isn't that where you get together and eat popcorn?
No, you wish it was. It's a special place. Popcorn. It's a special place for like, I don't know. All the artists, local artists, they support local, like us, radio guys.
Ah.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. And so, yeah, hopefully, guys, we got that coming up very, very soon, Nathan. So what's going on? Happy Mother's Day to our women out there.
Yes, to all the moms.
Yeah.
And to everyone with a mom.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man. The moms, we gotta love them. I took mine out last night.
Where did you take her, Sean?
We went to see Civil War, Captain America.
And was that the movie she chose?
Well, yeah. She loves that stuff. No, Mom, I love you. She sat through it, but she knew the kids wanted to go see it and stuff, so we all got to go out there, and man, I got to tell you, it was, I got the coolest mom ever. Love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
I think I have the coolest mom ever, Sean, so.
You do? Tell us, what did you do for your mom? What did you guys do?
I didn't get to go see her, because this was the first day in 12 days that I had off, and I should have gone and saw my mom, but I slept late.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so I couldn't make it down there, so I called her, and we spent the afternoon on the phone together.
Yeah.
And she got the card I had sent her, so.
Yeah.
It was, and I got her a microwave.
Did you really?
I did. She needed a microwave.
Well, so usually it's...
You know, at a certain point in your life, you realize you've gotten old enough now that every minute counts, and you better start cooking your food with microwaves.
Absolutely. Don't waste another second.
That's right.
Making bologna sandwiches. You can make bologna. I mean, you don't have to cook everything, Nathan.
I cook bologna. You do. You ever fry bologna? Oh, that's so good.
Fried bologna's good. What? How old do you think you were when you got your very first fried bologna sandwich?
I think I was the first one I remember. I was probably around 7.
Okay. Who was big in your family on the bologna stuff?
You know what? It was really just something that my mom was out, and so my dad made the fried bologna sandwiches.
Yeah. That's how I grew up on it. Dad made chili, though. Dad made the best chili in the state of Indiana, in the Midwest.
My father was a former army cook, so everything he cooked had to be done in either one pan or one pot.
It had to be chili.
Yeah, chili, or it was stew, or it was a casserole, you know. And he'd always cook enough to feed like 20 people, even when there were only 2 of us, so we'd be eating it for the next 10 days.
Right, right. And he loved every minute of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But mom learned to cook pretty much after dad passed, because she had to.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's special. It's awesome that the mothers out there, especially the Shadow Nation, you guys are the coolest. I'm not just saying that because, you know, you listen to our show. You really are. Okay, maybe I didn't say that. Because we know, you know, I mean, you know how many listeners, the statistics are higher for our program over the last 9.5 years or whatever. More women listen to our show than anything.
It's true. We have a 65% basis of women listening to the show.
And I'm proud to say that. Yeah, I like looking at women more than anything. So.
And they like the fact that we're a radio show, so they don't have to look at you, Sean.
Yeah. Absolutely. So tell us what's going on, man. Tell us, give us a story or something.
Give us a story. Throw me on the spot.
No, well, tell us what's going on in your world.
In my world?
Yeah, your world.
Oh, geez, you could have given me some warning. Well, honestly, it's really just work all the time. But been doing a lot of training. Got my wildlife certificate, Sean.
Oh,
got
you
it.
Did?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can now hunt down nuisance wildlife animals with the best of them.
Well,
and for those folks who wonder, nuisance wildlife means they're entering people's homes or something like that. I don't just go out and hunt animals.
Those darn nuisance.
If they're entering someone's home, then it's my job to go and fix the problem.
Yeah. Are you ready to fix the problem?
I am always ready to fix the problem.
Is that what you do? Is that you're like, I am going to kill you.
I walk in and I say, fear not, family. I am here to rescue you from that evil skunk trapped in the well around your window, your basement window.
And I am here to stay. Yeah.
And once it sprays me, I will walk through your house and stink up the whole place.
Do you ever have an innocent little rodent stare at you?
Yes. Yes, I have. And in fact, I got out of my car the other day and stepped out of the car and went to take something out of the back seat. And as I look down, there's a mouse in the back seat of my car. And it's just staring at me like, how did I get in here?
You murderer.
Yeah. Anyway. We're coming for you, Nathan.
We're coming for you. We're coming for your daughter, Chuck. Remember that?
I do.
Yeah. Anyway, you know what that music is, guys. It's tonight's guest. Hey, we got 2 of them for you guys. Tonight's guest number 1 is the best-selling author of 2 books. The Horsefly Chronicles and The Curse of the Horsefly Chronicles, which documents the demon haunting which has been with him most of his life. Host of the Horsefly Chronicles experiment on the popular web series The Paranormal Zone TV. Second up, also stopping by, psychic medium and paranormal investigator and host of the popular radio show Sleepless Nights, Nathan.
Woohoo!
Yeah, she's going to come by studio. You ready for this one?
Always ready.
Yeah. Anyway, she's known for moving into cases while living alongside her clients. She has worked with scientists and specialists in the field of the paranormal and spends most of her time helping clients with hauntings of the darker variety. Shadow Nation tonight, Phil Siracusa and psychic medium Carissa Fleck stop by studio. Yeah, should be a good one, guys. Of course, mm-hmm. Phil wrote The Horsefly Chronicles, real-life demonic haunting case. Carissa Fleck, psychic medium, in the house tonight. Yeah.
Always impressive.
Always impressive. You know, while it's funny, guys, because we're going to let you in. We always let you in a little secret of broadcast world. The reason I was stretching Nathan out so long is I was looking for that handy-dandy guest intro music there. You didn't pick up on it. Bonehead.
Oh, I knew. That's why I was like, oh, I better come up with something really fast. What's happened in my life? I got my certificate. Yay. We already covered Mother's Day. I can't talk about that.
Whose band is this anyway?
For those of you who missed us at Comic-Con last week, you could see when we when one of us would nudge the other one and be like, your turn.
Your turn.
Don't you dare try to stifle me.
I'm not trying to stifle you, man. Anyway, Mother's...
I could have mentioned the fact that just when the show was starting, Sean,
yeah,
for some bizarre reason...
Well, just like always.
The phone just disconnected between us. The direct line between Sean and I went down.
There you go. The weird's happening again. This wouldn't be the first time.
I shouldn't have brought Jocelyn back up into the studio.
You shouldn't. You know, that's what kills me. Out of all the stuff last week at Comic-Con, when we had 200-plus people that came to see us, thanks so much, guys. All the new listeners out there, the Shadow Nation, thanks for supporting us at Comic-Con. What a huge turnout.
I know. Sean and I... Can I tell the story, Sean?
I want you to tell
it. How surprised we were?
Yeah, because I don't remember it. I was kind of hazy going in there.
It was interesting because Sean and I said, you know what? We went in beforehand, and like we said earlier, shocked how everything was already set up for us. You know, we were just going to have to come in, plug in our stuff, and go.
Yeah.
And Sean, I forget what you had to run back to the car for. So I walked in, showed them my badge. They let me in.
Uh-huh.
I didn't notice the line of people outside the door.
Yeah.
So Sean comes back, sees the line outside the door, and figures they haven't opened the room up yet, so he gets in line for our show.
Yeah, you were already inside. Yeah,
I was inside setting up, and finally Sean figured, huh, this is taking a little while. It's time. I better go check what's going on. There I was inside setting up. The line was for our show.
But Joe Boo.
Like around the corner, people just waiting to get in.
Right.
I got to say, thanks, folks. You made that a wonderful, wonderful experience for me.
Yeah, we felt like lions. That was Godzilla. That wasn't a lion.
That wasn't a lion.
It was supposed to be a roar.
That was Godzilla.
Yeah. Anyway, you know what I miss so much, Nathan?
We were the Godzillas of the Comic-Con.
I miss this so much. You hear it? You hear it playing?
I hear it, and I'm trying not to think about it.
I know.
Because I don't want to think about who we're going to come back and see gone.
Yeah.
When Walking Dead returns.
Well, it's funny, guys. This is an official Rot Talk, where each week Nathan and I talk about what we think's going to happen, what did happen last week on that show we all know and love, The Walking Dead. It's not, is it, Nathan?
It's not.
It's not official. You're not going to give the rules, are you?
Well, there are no rules to Rot Talk.
Well, especially when we're just reminiscing. But
The rules of Rot Talk are, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about what happened on Rot Talk, Walking Dead during Rot Talk. And if you haven't heard it yet, put your hands over your ears and go la, 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 la for about 3 minutes. And then you can move on.
And get over it. Those are pretty good rules, man.
Yeah, I do. I mean, we're not going to hold back.
No.
We try and figure it. We talk about what happened, what we think's going to happen, and how we think it's going to affect the series.
Yeah.
As everybody knows, or if you don't know, put your hands over your ears and go la, 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 because we're going to spoil it here.
Yeah.
At the end of The Last Walking Dead, if you haven't seen it on Facebook,
that's right,
Negan showed up and bashed somebody in the head.
Oh!
And they're making us wait until next season to figure out who.
Yeah. He bashed somebody right in the...
Now, what if they throw a total, like, switcheroo on us, Sean, and, like, it was Negan who got bashed in the head?
Yeah, well, that would be the quickest villain intro-outro ever for any television series. Yeah. I think we're safe to say that he's going to be okay. I think Negan's going to make
up
it.
Up your butt, Joe Boo.
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The gentleman who plays Negan, you know his name, Sean.
Yeah, that's right. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, sir. Our good friend of the show. I can't believe you don't know his name.
Also played the father on Supernatural.
Yeah.
And I am a huge Supernatural fan. Watched Supernatural this week. Not going to spoil it for people, but if you are a Supernatural fan, go watch it. God has finally arrived.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know, I heard it's good. There's a lot of shows out there. but I'm dedicated to, what can I say? I'm dedicated to The Walking Dead, man. I can't follow a bunch of shows.
How much longer do you think The Walking Dead can go, Sean?
I don't know. Let's ask Lou Temple. I don't know. Let's ask him. He might know about it.
Well, let's not forget, Sean, you and I had a conversation with Lou after his last interview.
We did?
And we did. And he gave us some hints because he said somebody's going to die this season. And I think it's going to be somebody bigger than anybody expects.
Lou, who was that?
And
hey, y'all, this is Lou Temple. You know me as Axel on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
You keep follow me?
You follow me?
Thank you, Lou.
Lou's awesome. Lou's awesome.
He pointed out that he thought – I probably shouldn't say who he thought it was. Well, he might get in trouble.
No. Yeah, you better not say that.
He waited till after the show. But, folks, a lot of people think it's going to be Glenn and follow the comic book. A lot of people think it can't be one of the heroes because right. – You know, everybody loves him so much.
Yeah.
But there's some talk that one of the heroes might be going.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be the lesser hero. Does that make any sense? The lesser hero?
It was between two, he said, remember?
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be I shouldn't say the lesser hero. I would say the I'm not going to say it. Let's move along.
You know, I find it interesting watching the follow-up to Walking Dead, The Talking Dead, every week. When the folks come on they talk about getting that script, because they don't know that they're going to die until they get the script.
Yeah, whatever.
And
who's that guy's name? That Chris Hardon?
Hardwick.
Hardwick. Yeah, yeah.
And
he just annoys me. I'm sorry, Chris. You know, he
hasn't had us on the show yet. That's what annoys me.
That annoys me too. But
people
keep saying
you need to get the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter on Talking Dead.
We've had more Walking Dead stars that I know of. And I've done my homework, Nathan, than any radio show, internet radio show out there. And the guy won't respond to any of our stuff. Guys, if you go to the AMC Walking Dead page or Talking Dead page. Yeah. Scream at, what's his name? Hardwick?
Chris Hardwick.
Yeah, Chris Hardwick. Scream at him. Say, hey, man, what's wrong with you people? Your Walking Dead stars go all over whatever. I don't think I want to sit on his couch now.
It does look like a comfy couch.
Yeah. Maybe I'd sit on it and, you know, I would tell him go. I would just
No.
That's what I'd do on his couch. What do you think about that, Hardwick?
Oh, you're just a mean man.
He can kiss my butt. Anyway, Mother's Day turns 100, Nathan. It's surprisingly dark history. You ready for this one?
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it's known mostly as a time for brunches, gifts, cards, general outpourings of love and appreciation, is like Nathan added. Of course, microwaves purchases.
Yes.
That's weird.
To save mom time in her final years.
You didn't put mom in the microwave, right?
No.
All right. Well, you got to be a little unstable.
My enemies.
It doesn't. You don't have to be crazy to do the radio show. It just helps.
But it helps.
Yeah, it does. Anyway, but the holiday has more somber roots. Here we go, Nathan. It was founded for mourning women to remember falling soldiers and work for peace. And when the holiday went commercial, its greatest champion, Anna Jarvis, gave everything to fight it, dying penniless and broken in a sanitarium.
Oh,
yeah. It all started in the 1850s when the West Virginia's woman organizer, Ann Reeves Jarvis, and his mother held Mother's Day work clubs to improve sanitary conditions and try to lower infant mortality. Well, I'm sorry, mortality by fighting disease and curbing milk contamination. Bad time, huh?
Yeah.
Boobies. According to historian Boobies, Catherine Antonellini, Antonellini of West Virginia. That's not a West Virginia name. Anyway.
What's a West Virginia name?
For like Bob Smith. Anyway, from West Virginia, Wesleyan College. What's everybody?
Haxel. That's a good West Virginia name. Haxel.
Watch all the listeners of the show. Email me. West Virginia names. I don't care, guys. Do it. Email me. Prove me wrong. The groups also tended wounded soldiers from both sides during the U.S. Civil War, 61-65, of course. That's 1800s. In the post-war years, Jarvis and other women organized Mother's Friendship Day, picnics, and other events as pacifist strategies to unite former foes. It was a big battle, Nathan.
It was.
Yeah. Julie Ward Howe, for one, she's known, best known as the composer of the battle hymn of the Republic. issued a widely read Mother's Day proclamation in 1870, calling the women to take in active political roles in promoting peace. Around the same time, Jarvis had initiated a Mother's Day friendship for Union and Confederate loyalists across her state, but it was her daughter, Anna, who was the most responsible for what we call Mother's Day today, and who would spend most of her later life fighting what it had become. Although she never had a child of her own, Nathan.
Yes.
She always respected Mother's Day because of the passing of her mother.
Aw.
Yes. Absolutely, guys. So there you go. That's it in a nutshell. Did you follow me on that?
I followed you.
Yeah. Well, I wanted
so
to
Mother's
get that
Day out didn't start out for mothers.
No, it didn't. It actually started,
out for all women.
Yeah, well, for mothers to mourn the passing of their sons and stuff.
Oh.
Yeah. Now it's, yeah. Now we have to give goods to the mothers. Oh, what a world. Anyway, Nathan, in the news. Oh, it's always fresh. It's always exciting. It's strange and weird. Straight from the G&D Show vault. And it starts right
now.
Goosebumps. You knocked it out of the park, buddy. You did.
All right, Sean. First up today, Mindy likes strong men, hot nights walking on the beach, and oh, I'm sorry, wrong window I have open here.
Yes.
Drowsy driver, Sean.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we got to give them the rules. This time I did forget the rules, Sean.
You did forget.
That's right, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show in the news. That's weird news that Sean and I pick right out of the paper because we like the titles.
That's right.
We don't read the stories in advance, so we make a lot of mistakes. Every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's the G&D drinking game.
Uh-huh.
Of course, we remind you that if you are listening to this show while driving in your car, please don't play the G&D drinking game. And if you're planning on doing anything important this evening, please listen responsibly.
Oh, my goodness. Please do so.
Okay, Sean. Drowsy drivers, deliver unto us a horde of bees and thousands of potatoes.
Oh, my God. Why do we need bees and potatoes?
I don't know. Let's find out, shall we?
I want to.
There were a couple of rude awakening.
Hey, drink bell.
Fourth word already.
Yeah.
There were a couple of rude awakenings for sleepy drivers this week.
Yes.
Under the apparent influence of inadequate rest, a truck driver spilled 50,000 pounds of potatoes on a highway in North Carolina,
right,
and another unleashed millions of bees on a Wyoming interstate.
Okay.
Okay. The two incidents are just the latest in an epic of drowsy driving, which is linked to over 300,000 accidents a year.
Yeah.
Hoo-ah! The potato incident, Sean, it shall ever be known as the potato incident.
Hoo-ah!
The potato incident took place around 2 a.m. on Friday in Charlotte. Night shift workers are among the highest risk population for drowsy driving crashes, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Yeah. 2 a.m., you say.
Hoo-ah! Yes. This driver, who was taken to the hospital, is expected to recover, according to WSCO News. But the crash led to the partial shutdown of that stretch of the Interstate 77 for several hours. And let's jump down to the bees. I want to know about the bees. I don't know about you, Sean.
I'm excited about
it. The honeybee incident took place 2 days earlier on Wednesday afternoon near Lemire. The beehives broke open when the driver apparently fell asleep and wrecked his truck.
Yeah.
The Lemire Boomerang reported.
Oh, my God.
Highway Patrol Trooper Aaron Peters said that probably a football field in any direction was swarming with honeybees, according to the Boomerang.
Yeah.
Okay, since you're bored, I'm just going to let you read the next one. By the way, Sean, truck driver's not the only ones who are drowsy driving.
Oh, no.
1 in 25 Americans have admitted to falling asleep at the wheel in the prior month, according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention.
Have you ever fallen asleep at the wheel?
Yes. Yes, I have.
See, I never have.
Usually it's when you're talking to me. But...
Hey, I got one up to bat, little brother. Ex-NASA astronaut Tom Jones used to be a big UFO fan.
Really?
Yeah. He says not now, though. Yeah.
No?
No, that's what he's saying. And I'm going to leave it at that. Tune in next week. Anyway, stories have been told for decades about American astronaut who supposedly have seen unexplained serial phenomena, as Democratic presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton prefers to call UFOs. But how many astronauts? Did you know Hillary calls them aerial phenomena? Or wait, what'd she call them?
I don't know. You're reading the story.
American astronauts who supposedly have seen explained aerial phenomena. She's just calling them aerial phenomena.
Okay.
It's very PC. Yeah. But how many astronauts have really reported close encounters, Nathan? Shadow Nation.
I don't know, Sean.
With objects that could be verified as actual unknown? Vanishingly few. It turns out veteran NASA astronaut Tom Jones said he wondered about UFOs long before he joined the space agency. Here's his quote, guys. Get ready. I used to be a big UFO fan when I was a teenager, thinking that this was the next great frontier of exploration. Jones said in a recent interview with the Huffington Post, I dropped that opinion later on after not seeing the evidence that I was looking for. In his Smithsonian Air and Space Magazine column, Ask the Astronaut. That's his column. Yeah. Ask the Astronaut. Jones answered a recent question about whether he or other astronauts had ever seen UFOs from orbit. He wrote the following. Groundbreaking, folks. Astronauts have not seen any evidence of alien life. Reports of unidentified flying objects and images returned from the shuttle or space station have turned out to be ice crystals, drifting orbital debris, lightning flashes, or meteors streaking through the dark atmosphere below. So far, our search for extraterrestrial life and other civilization in space has turned up no proof of alien civilization. There you go. Huh?
Is that it?
Yeah. That was it, guys. He said, what a downer, Jones. What an a-hole. I don't believe him. He says no astronaut has ever reported seeing. Are you crazy? We've had him on. Well, we've tried to get him on this show. They have reported it, in fact, my friend. You know they have.
I don't know, Sean. I don't know. I think it's just you trying to prove something.
Yeah, you know they have. Anyway, that's in the news, guys. We only have time for two stories tonight, I guess, Nate.
I guess so. I guess it's almost that time.
I guess it is. Anyway, guys, we got to go to break and bring in our guest for this evening.
This evening? Yeah. Hey, Sean, before we do, just let me mention, it's not a whole story, but I want to send a shout out to the Colombian man who was rescued after 2 months adrift at sea.
Yeah, mention that. Bring that up.
He ate gulls and fish to survive.
Gulls?
Gulls and fish. Now, Javier Eduardo Olia from Colombia was found at sea.
Yeah.
By a merchant vessel and picked up, then transferred to the Coast Guard and then to Honolulu,
yeah,
where he reported that he'd been lost for 2 months at sea with three companions. The companions, however, Sean, yeah, are not on the boat and they can't find them. They were reportedly from Ecuador. And the Coast Guard is not going to follow up on the investigation on what happened to them because it's out of their territory. My question is, why does he seem so well fed and his three friends are missing?
Uh-oh.
That's my question, Sean.
I believe.
But congratulations for being saved, man.
Absolutely. All the best, brother. Welcome back to
Don't know how you got lost in the first place, but congratulations on being saved.
That'd be a bad day. That'd be a bad day, man. What would you do?
Eat gulls and fish.
Yeah. I would eat you if I had to.
Well, that's why I said what happened to his friends.
Anyway, guys, we got to go to break. Tonight's guest. We got two of them, folks. Number one, he's a best-selling author of two books, The Horsefly Chronicles and The Curse of the Horsefly Chronicles, which documents the demon haunting, which has been with him most of his life. Also stopping by, psychic medium, paranormal investigator, and host of Sleepless Nights Radio, guys, is going to be Carissa Fleck. She's going to be here. She's going to tell us all about the hauntings and the clients she's lived with while she's been helping them out with hauntings of the darker variety. Tonight, Phil Siracusa and Carissa Fleck stop by studio. Yeah. Anyway, guys, each week we play an independent band. We support the little man on this show, something we know, we love.
Sometimes we're quite familiar with.
Yeah, something usually that we play over and over and over again. Anyway, guys, tonight's band is Castles in the Sky. Name of the song, Nathan. Whispers are hollow points. Nathan?
Yes, sir.
Shadow Nation, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Don Wildman from Mysteries at the Museum, and you're listening to Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, where the real mysteries are. Ooh.
Hey, welcome back, Shadow Nation, to the one, the only Mystifying Oracle Radio. Tonight's guest, we got two of them for you folks. First up is a best-selling author of two books, The Horsefly Chronicles and The Curse of the Horsefly Chronicles, which documents the demon haunting, which has been with him most of his life. Host of The Horsefly Chronicles Experiment on the popular web series The Paranormal Zone TV. Also stopping by right here is psychic medium and paranormal investigator and the host of the popular radio show Sleepless Nights, known for moving into cases while living alongside the clients. She's worked with scientists and specialists in the field of the paranormal and spends most of her time helping clients with hauntings of the darker variety. Shadow Nation, help us welcome to studio tonight author Phil Siracusa and psychic medium Carissa Fleck. Carissa, Phil, what's going on, guys?
Hi, we're doing good. Thank you so much for having us on. We're excited.
Oh, you bet. We're excited to have you. Sorry it took so long. Oh, my God. We were, I checked the emails. I said, we got to get these folks on, and then we had the everything going on at Comic-Con and everything. We haven't even done a show in like 3 months, I think.
That's okay. I understand.
Yeah, you guys are busy too, man. Tell us about the shows. You guys got the books going on. Phil, how you doing, man?
Great. Thank you for having us on. My name is Philip Siracusa. I am the author of The Horsefly Chronicles, A True Life Demonic Haunting. as a 48-year-old man, I could look at anybody in the eye and tell them that demons and entities do exist.
Nice.
And that they can reveal themselves through the naked eye. And this is a very serious haunting, and we're still documenting it. And, you know, for the listener out there, really quick, I just want them to know that we've tried to remove entities over the last 2 years through priests and ministries and shaman. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, the results were grave towards us.
Okay.
So now what we're doing is we're doing a paranormal series every Monday night to prove to the world and the hardcore skeptics that entities do exist, and we're bringing it to them live stream as best as we can.
Okay.
Up until we're able to get a full apparition.
Yeah.
With words coming from it, we're not going to stop.
Phil, is that the Horsefly Chronicles experiment? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, great. So what was it? Every Monday night you guys go live stream?
Yes. We bring you the best in the field. We do different experiments, and we're also trying to prove that energies can transfer through electronics. And so far we've had really successful shows.
Nice, guys. We'll definitely get all that out. Absolutely, man. We want to plug all of your guys' stuff because what you're doing is amazing. The books are great, and what you've had to go through, Phil. I mean, over the last 10 years, Nathan and I have doing this show. You know, we had the TV show on A&E. We've dealt with the demonic cases and everything else. So we respect where you're coming from, and I respect what you dealt with. I myself grew up in a haunted home. Now, it wasn't demonic that I know of. But yeah, man, I know how to deal with that. Tell us a little bit about the story, Phil. Did it start when you were a kid growing up in this house,
yes,
or what? Go ahead.
Well, let me explain to the listener this, that it's not a haunted house. It's a haunted person, which is myself. Now, not to disrespect anybody's beliefs or religion, but I do remember heaven and hell. I do remember that. Yeah. And again, that's my belief of my experience. And I remember these entities coming through, seeing dark shadows through adolescence. And the dark shadows became very, very negative in its energy as I hit younger teenage years. Uh-huh. And I thought it was psychosomatic or a power of thought. When back in the 70s, no one really talked about ghosts and demons. You were laughed at, quite frankly,
right,
especially a person that went to a Catholic school. But I took it in as that maybe it's just hallucinations. I wasn't clearly understanding what was happening to me. But what I can tell everyone in the world is that the older I became, the stronger these dark attachments became. And entities, unfortunately, are one step ahead of us in the physical world. Where our lifespan is no more than 70 to 90 years old, entities have been around for tens of thousands of years. So the way we think and they think is completely different, and they're masterminds of manipulation. So when it grows with you and you don't know what you're dealing with, it becomes a stronghold on myself and a family. So I've lived in over 10 different locations over the last 20 years, and these entities only grew stronger and stronger. So through the practices of myself and not understanding what was going on, I went to the Ouija board and things like that, not knowing that I was actually opening up more doors for these entities to get stronger in my life.
Now, Phil, this was when you were younger, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're talking about the mid-80s when I started to tamper with the Ouija board.
Yeah.
And then I purchased a book called Gosha from Magical Child in New York City. You see, entities, I hate to say it, but they're smart, because what they do, it's like a magnet. They'll lead you to things that they want you to bring down that path, and you don't know what you're doing or why you're even doing it. So I started to tamper into darkness to try to understand what I was dealing with my whole life up until that point. And then what I was really doing is opening up the doorways to hell, right to the physical world. And I'm not going to tell people that my walls bleed and furniture flies through the air. That's make-believe.
Yeah.
But I will tell the world this. Does this energy travel through electronics and it can communicate with us? It can. And we've caught voices and growls and full sentences on a regular cell phone. And we try to debunk it over and over again. But unfortunately, when it gets stronger, you start to now see a black mist sometimes go by. And some people say, well, you know, sometimes orbs, they're dust particles. And you know what? Most orbs are dust particles. Right. They really are. But it's the few and far between that would you ask it on command to move from one side of a room to another with no air ventilation. It does it. You know that you're talking to an entity. These entities, a lot of people that are on television have come to my home because I wanted to try to debunk all of this, especially being a father of four, and living the life that I live, to say that it's not true.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Phil. I mean, not that you had the mob ties.
I brought in a paranormal team called Eastern Paranormal Society, and that's how I met Carissa Flack.
Yeah, Carissa.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to bring you in. Carissa! The media, psychic medium, man. How did you, tell us about it. How did you meet Phil? What got you started in the medium world, psychic?
Well, I've been able to see and communicate with spirits since I was a little kid. You know, some of my earliest childhood memories are me talking to the dead. I kind of blocked it out throughout my teenage years, lived a normal life, up until I moved into an old farmhouse, and that's when things kind of hit me full force again. You know, I linked up with a local paranormal team, and I started doing the paranormal investigating as a hobby. It was just something I did when I had free time, and it was until I got a phone call from my team founder at the time telling me that he had a case about a man who thought he was haunted. He didn't tell me anything else about it. Long story short, without even knowing Phil's name, the entities in his house came over to mine and tortured me and tormented me for 3 weeks. And I finally came to the house for the first time, I guess now 3 years ago, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a connection, a friendship to him and his family. And I ended up moving in this case for 4 months and documenting it.
Oh, wow. Now, Nate, this is right up your alley, buddy. You've always been the demonologist side of things. I did the paranormal. What do you think? I'm interested in Carissa talking about the attacks. I want to know more about that. I mean, how was it? Was it mental? Were you getting scratched and kicked around, physical?
It started off, it started off with just this feeling that something was there, and I couldn't quite make it out what it was. It was like it had a veil over itself for the first time in my life. Because up until that point, I was used to seeing things physically there. You know, I'd see full body apparitions all the time, but this time it had a veil and like weird shadows out of the corner of my eyes. I rescue animals on the side, so they start acting weird.
Nice.
Weird footsteps, weird sounds that just felt out of place for the spirits that were in my home. And that was week one. Week two started with demonic like nightmares where I would have dreams of the same entity attacking me in different scenarios over and over again. And I would wake up frozen. It got to the point where I really didn't know what I was dealing with because I did not believe in demonic entities at this time. Yeah. And I was taking Benadryl just to try to get some sleep. And I was still only getting a couple hours of sleep a night. By week three is when the physical attack started. You know, I talk about this a lot, but I got sexually attacked. I was laying in bed and I saw a green orb with my eyes. And when it got to the center of my bed, my cat ran out hissing. And that's when I got sexually assaulted. I don't go into detail about it still. Mm-hmm. It's been 3 years, but I still don't like to talk about it. You know, I got bite marks, scratch marks, stuff like that along those lines.
Yeah. Now, hey, Nate.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I was just thinking I'd like to go back just a step and talk about how this started for Phil and how it got the name the Horsefly Chronicles or, you know, anything like that, and just so that our listeners have an idea of what it is that you're dealing with here.
Sure. What we're dealing with are demons, quite frankly. And how it started was I have a remembrance of heaven being pulled into hell. Not that I died here in the physical world, but that's where it all began, that my whole story. And on September 16th, 1967, I was born in Staten Island University Hospital. When I was born, as a child, I started to remember that where I came from. And people say, well, it's the light rail, the light that when people cross over and die, that vortex of energy is real. It is not fake. It's a real light. It's just a reverse effect of somebody coming through the other side and being born here. And a lot of this stuff is hard to believe, understand, and digest. And that's why I bring in the best people up till this very day. I'm still doing it because people try to say it's not real and let's debunk it. I would be more than happy if it could be.
Yeah.
But I'm going forward and bringing the best people to help me document what's really happening here.
Right.
So, you know, I went into black magic in the early 90s. Again, like Carissa said, it has a veil over its face. And in the physical world, when you don't know that path that you're being brought down, it pulls you in because it wants to talk to you either through mental telepathy or whatever it's using of communication. And you think the board, when you're using it, most of the time use a Ouija board, nothing will happen, quite frankly. But when it's a strong enough intent, it comes right through and you can feel its own energy. And people ask me, well, how do you know it's not a negative spirit and a demonic haunting? How do you know you're actually dealing with demons? Here it is. a negative spirit. I am not a paranormal investigator or a psychic or a medium, but this is what a man that's haunted talking, is that a negative energy, you'll feel its pain, its weakness, and you'll feel very drained. A demon is like putting your fingers into a socket and you get a shock and you'll hear a pop. And when that happens, you start to feel the most negative thoughts, emotions of pain. You feel pure evil yourself. So basically, every aspect of happiness and love and peace that you had within you is gone, and it's filled with hate, pain, and now you just want to be on the attack in the physical world. Yeah. It takes you over that way, and when it does that, it's like a slight possession. And then when it does that, you only see what it wants you to see, because that's how it works. As a vessel, that's what we're called, vessels here, to its prey, to be utilized as a tool in the shed. That's what we are towards any entity in the physical world. Mm. And I will tell everybody that it's true. And unfortunately, it works. And I've practiced to understand what was following me. Are these demons real? And I started my own thing in the 90s where I started to teach people what I was learning, and which we tried to, criticize it. And I contacted Sightings, the television show, because I wanted them to come down and say, hey, you know, this is not real.
Oh, that was good one, Phil. I missed that show, man.
The show was awesome.
Yeah.
And the phone lines kept going dead. Bad things started happening. And I took all the dark energy and I started to form my own organization of people to understand it, but yet master what I was dealing with. And it's very bad. It's very evil. And up to this very day, you know, I could tell anyone that don't play with a Ouija board if you don't know what you're doing. You may think it's cool and it works, but unfortunately, when you're talking to something that you don't see, it can be very deadly and costly to you in the physical world.
Well, you know, it's funny too, Phil, because Nathan, did you have a follow-up question with that, man? I didn't want to cut in on you.
No, not at all. I was just, kind of wanted the listeners to know where we were coming from. And the Horsefly Chronicles, where do horseflies come into it, Phil?
Very good question. For years and years, I've been circled by a horsefly in the most mysterious times, and I thought it was coincidence, even to a couple of tragedies that took place in the late 80s in New York. And it would always be a black fly or a horse fly. Not every single time, but on the weirdest occasions, even in the dead of winter. And then a couple years ago, me and a couple people said, you know what, let's come out with the story. Let's bring it out. Whoever believes it, that's fine. But it's a horse fly, and that comes from Beelzebub. And Beelzebub comes from one of Satan's leaders. And that's where we got the name Horsefly and Chronicles, because it's continuation of events that keep going on over and over again to other people that have been involved with this case.
You know, it's funny, Phil and Carissa, I know you guys have seen the movie The Right, right?
I actually never saw that.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
Yeah, it's Anthony Hopkins. It's your traditional exorcism movie. It's about the priest. He didn't want to be a priest. He goes to the Vatican, he takes the exorcism course, and now he's one of the leading exorcists at the here in the United States. He came on the show. It's Father Gary Thomas. And it's funny because the author of The Rite also came on. And we had Gary Gallagher. He is the psychologist for the International Community of Exorcists here in America that I didn't even know existed.
Sponsored by the Catholic Church.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny, Phil, Carissa, because he said a lot of the things you're saying about, you know, when you're in the presence of somebody that's truly possessed, that you feel the energy, that you feel it drain from you, you know, and all this stuff. So there's certain telltale signs, I think, when you're dealing, like you said, how do you spot on? How do you say this is a demonic haunt? Because we've been on many, all of us here on the phone line and on the mics, we've all been on cases, and sometimes you don't know what you're dealing with. So it's interesting you bring that up. But, you know, I see you have your share of haters, both you and Carissa. So do we. so that must mean you're on to something.
We have our share, your share, and pretty much everybody else's share hating us.
Yeah.
It happens, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Carissa. Well, anytime you come out and say, I can do something, somebody's going to bash you. But you guys have done some amazing stuff, especially with the books. Carissa, you've helped a bunch of people. Tell us, Carissa, about how, because you got a unique way of going into somebody's home. You don't just go spend the night like 98% of the ghost hunters out there, the paranormal researchers. You spend the night and move in with these folks. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, it started with this case. It wasn't something I had planned, but it's something that goes way back in the day before the paranormal world was so Hollywoodized. And, you know, paranormal investigators are people that were in universities, used to go and move into the client's house. It's something that priests also used to do. I don't know if they still do it before moving in to perform an exorcism. They would move in and study the case. Yeah. I kind of base it off my theory of familiarity where, you know, you can't go into a case for a few hours and determine if it's a hoax or not. You know, spirits are, for the most part, like people, they're not necessarily going to interact with you the first night you're there. It's like moving into a haunted house. You don't expect things to be flying off the walls the first day.
Right.
You know, the spirits have to get comfortable with you. And I think it's the only way to fully know what a client is going through and understand what they're living in is to live in the case for at least a week. I like to stay longer if my schedule makes it available, but, you know, I don't think that you can base it on a couple hours. And that's just my personal opinion. I've been blessed and lucky enough to be able to do that.
Now, hey, Phil, jumping back to you now, I got to get into this, man. You have, you were a bouncer. You're a tough man, so you wouldn't be scared of much. You want to talk about that, the mafia, all that stuff? It's been brought up online. Do you want to touch base on that or not?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in New York. I was a bouncer into bodybuilding and working in local bars. And one of the local bars was ran by an underboss. And, you know, they want to know everything about you if you're working for them, quite frankly, A to Z. And when they knew that I was able to perform rituals through dark entities, you know, they laughed about it and really didn't understand the possibility. But there was a guy who did kill an FBI officer in New York, and they had to catch him. Because if they didn't, he would have got caught by the feds and then brought down the mob.
Yeah.
And look, I can't prove anything to anybody that what happened was real, but I can tell you that it's far more than coincidence that through the Ouija board and spiritual sessions of myself and other people that helped, they were able to find this guy and take him down in Brooklyn. Now, look, is it real? It's real. And for people that don't believe and criticize, I don't try to prove anything to anybody. When people tell me today, oh, your story's not real, you know what I say? It's okay. It's truly okay for people not to believe. Because it's not for me to force anybody's will to believe anything.
Right.
The only thing I could do is show having other people come here and try to understand it. So I had a lot of affiliation with the mafia. And once you're in, you know, we can leave it like that. But I did a lot of these practices to try to understand it, have them understand it, and then it went to a whole nother level once this guy was found. So, and that goes back now to the early 90s we're talking about, when that whole thing took place. So to sum up a lot of this stuff is that when you work with dark entities, unfortunately, bad things do happen to people. I'm not proud of it, but it does work. And that's the fascinating part about it, is that when you're dealing with an energy, an unseen force, and you almost have it by its name, then you start to realize what is the boundaries here. Is there any boundaries? Now, a year and a half ago, Carissa had a brilliant idea to come out with a book called The Curse of the Horsefly Chronicles. And it was basically a lot of the people that came to this home have their own testimonial experiences of what they dealt with.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I respect all paranormal investigators. But if I had to give any word of advice, it would be to stay into a case for at least a week. Because unless you eat, breathe, and sleep in a case, you really don't know what the entity is doing or what you're up against until you can feel its own presence of energy.
Yeah. Well, I'd have to agree with that. Carissa, I got to say, Nathan, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just wanted to ask a quick question here because we're talking about a lot of the dark stuff. And of course, that's part of what I follow. That's how I got the nickname Demon Hunter. But, you know, I'm not a demonologist. People always say, you know, they call me because they want a demonologist, and I'm not a demonologist. I'm an occultist. I study people's belief systems and how it affects what's going on around them. And I was just wondering, you had talked earlier about playing with the Ouija board and the bad things that happened. Then you got into the darker side of magic. I've played that road too. I know exactly what you're talking about. But where along the line do you think you made the big mistakes? I watch all the time. I go on YouTube and I see people, they're trying to perform their own exorcisms, and I see them calling for the demon's name. And I'm like, why would you call for the demon's name? You never speak to the demon. What were the big mistakes you think you made along the line? Because honestly, very rarely do I see a case that involves some kind of demonic or, you know, evil entity that lasts a lifetime. Those are the 1 in 10 million cases.
Yes,
and
they
usually
are.
Usually what happens is somewhere along the line, somebody's made some big mistakes that has kept it alive. What do you think your big mistakes were?
Gosha, the Book of Gosha. That book opened up every doorway possible to every entity. You know, I remember summoning every demon, which was 72 of them, thinking that it's not going to work. It's not real. And being blindsided, that book was the biggest mistake. And you're right. You know, I tell people, don't tamper with what you don't know with, because it can haunt you and it can destroy your life and bring a lot of hurt, pain, and sorrow to you. Don't do it. Now, today people ask me, you know, am I on the light side or the dark side? I got to be honest, I'm still split in between, because it's as if the entity that's around, when there's enough evil intent towards a person, it goes after them. And it sounds crazy, and that's what we're trying to understand on these experiments, is how to communicate with it. So my best advice to the world is don't tamper with things. Go towards the light and be happy. If you want to learn about things, you can read about it, but don't fully go into it trying to understand it, to take it in, because once you do, it almost becomes part of you.
Yeah. Now, I tell you what, guys, we're running out of time, so I wanted to get out there for our listeners. Talk more about the show. Both of you guys, you have a show, your host. Talk about that.
Yeah, you know, like we said, it's on YouTube. It's on our good friend Noreen's web series channel, which is Do You Believe? She also opened up another show for us. It's The Horsefly Phenomena. And we just bring you the best in the field. We've had everyone from tarot card readers to famous, recognized Ouija board players. We had paranormal investigators. Last week, we even went down the darker road to try to understand. We had a Satanist psychic on that's very well known. We try to bring you every side of things to try and understand what we're dealing with and for the listener to kind of take the ride on with us. And, you know, it's been a really successful show. We've had a lot of different people, a lot of different viewpoints, and everyone seems to really like it.
What's next for Phil and Carissa? What's going to happen next here with the Horsefly Chronicles, the house, everything you guys got going on? What's down the road?
You know, we have a book coming out with Haunted Road Media. We just signed a contract, so we have a new book coming out. Other than that, we're in the works with another web series that's really well known that we're going to bring to the house. More people coming forward and coming here to document this case and more experiments. I guess that's about it from my side, Phil.
You know, the exciting thing is this, and I want to tell everybody this, and you don't have to believe me, but listen to me very carefully. This goes for everybody that's alive. We never truly die. We don't. We don't. We never truly die. When our flesh goes, our energy goes on. And that is an exciting thing. And now we're trying to prove how it exists, how these entities exist, and how there's a bond between both, which sometimes is a connection, like an attachment that happens to people like myself. And, you know, a lot of people that came on these experiments says, Phil, how do you know the other side? It's very simple. We're using right now these experiments to show us and prove it. And other people like psychics and mediums and remote viewers to help me prove this theory.
I know one of the things you guys got involved with that caught my eye was ITC. Mm-hmm. I started out with that, and I shared something, I believe, with you, Carissa. Phil, I think you got involved, too, with the Sally House.
I'm actually friends with the Pickmans, and we start a team together called the Survivors of the Dark. Phil's not really a part of that team. It's mostly just me and the Pickmans, and we just counsel other people that have survived a demonic haunting, because it's in our belief that, you know, getting an exorcism or getting a deliverance is only half the battle. You still have that connection for the rest of your life.
I know, Phil. And that's what we're go ahead, Carissa. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's pretty much it. You know, I've been to the Sally House. They actually came there with me, the Pickmans and Dave Spinks, which was awesome. It was an honor to have them trust me that much to come there with me. They don't go to that house. So that was, you know, definitely interesting. The Sally House is definitely an intense case. And I'm very honored to be partnered with the Pickmans. They're lovely people.
Oh, Phil brought up sightings. And when I seen that, when I see the Sally House episode, I said, man, I'm going to do that. And I, I ended up doing it. I actually spent 4 days, four nights there. I slept there on the floor. And, you know, crazy stories. The guy was saying, you know, the porter of the hell's in the basement and everything else. And you know how we all do it. You go in with an open mind, but you love the story. And, yeah, I mean, I definitely had some stuff happen there. It didn't get nuts while I was there. It doesn't mean nothing, you know, wasn't there because I did see things. I seen the white light shooting down the stairs at night, little orb things, and not on camera. I seen it with my eyes. So, yeah, definitely something there that we share. But, guys.
Going there with the Pikmins was definitely a once in a lifetime experience. You know, I think during the live stream, Tony ended up getting three scratches.
Just like the old days.
His head. So it was definitely crazy. Definitely an intense night for sure. And it wasn't necessarily the evidence we caught, though we did catch awesome evidence with the disembodied girl's laugh and stuff like that and the scratches appearing. It was more just the general feeling of that house.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
I'm definitely into the ITC portion of that. Nathan, do you have anything else for Carissa?
I just have one question, and for both of you to get the chance to answer separately. A lot of times these things just infest your life, and you wish it could be over, it could be gone. You're looking to solve the problem, but at the same time, it makes your life different than all the lives around you. And I wonder if somebody came to you tomorrow and said, I can make all this demonic stuff stop. Tomorrow your life will go back to normal, but your connection to like the supernatural world will be gone. Would you say yes or no? Would you let them wipe out the evil around you, knowing that you'd have no longer a connection to the other supernatural side of this life?
If I truly believed it, the answer would be yes. If I truly believed it, going through every measure, no one has a magic wand, and that's just the way it is, period. And that's my answer to it. There's no magic wand. And when you see the energy that floats through an air and it's caught on film, you realize that all simple words in the physical world is not going to make it leave. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah, and I'm going to have to agree with the same thing. You know, of course, who wouldn't want to rid themselves of this life? Because your life does change forever. But in the same retrospect, I just have been through it with so many people that I wouldn't believe them at this point. Not after everything that we've witnessed happen to us after we've tried to do the removal process.
Yeah,
it's much easier just to live with than go through the hell that comes when you're trying to get rid of.
See, I just ask because Sean and I can't just keep walking into all this stuff. We have perfectly normal lives, and then we get walked back into it, and our lives go crazy for months.
So yep.
Job hazards. But, you know, guys, we're getting ready to close out the show, but I want to give you a chance. Where can our listeners follow you and find out everything about you?
Well, this is Phil. You can follow me on Facebook, Philip Siracusa. I have a page, The Horsefly Chronicles. Probably the only thing I do respond to with people. And you can find the book on Amazon if you're interested in paranormal, quite frankly. But before I do go and pass it over to Carissa, if you gentlemen are ever interested in coming down here, I'd love to have you.
All right, thanks, man. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
sounds
you
like
can
amazing.
Find me on Facebook under Carissa Fleck. We do have a website, thehorseflychronicles.com. That's about it.
And where do they find you on YouTube?
Oh, YouTube, I'm under Carissa Fleck. There's a few fake accounts of me, unfortunately. You know, I don't know why. I'm not famous or anyone cool.
Well, that's why I had to have you send your info, because I tried to find you to connect with you tonight, and there were too many of you.
Yeah, it's creepy, isn't it? It's a little creepy. Yeah, I only have one Facebook, one real YouTube, one real Twitter, one real Instagram, and you'll know it's me because I actually know how to spell. Whoever's making fake accounts of me does not know how to spell, and... Yeah, so that's not me. But yeah, you can find videos that I've done from the Horsefly House, Demons in Seattle. I think I have some footage from Sally House, Axe Murder House, stuff along those lines on my YouTube as well.
All right, guys. I tell you what, we're going to close out. I'm going to ask you to hold on the line 1 second.
Sounds good?
All right. Author Phil Siracusa, psychic medium Carissa Fleck. Amazing, guys. Keep up the good fight. Nate, what do you say?
I think I'm going to go make some popcorn.
Going to make some popcorn. Okay, well, you do that. Anyway,
Popcorn.
Yeah, well, I'm ready for that. Anyway, guys, time to pay the bills and close out the show. Special thanks to all our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Planet Paranormal, Spreaker, Canadian A Paranormal Radio Network, our good friends out in Canuckland, Attentive Home Healthcare, good people ready to help the ones you love, especially if you're in Indianapolis because that's where they're at. Anyway, check them out at attentivehhc.com. The SYL Project, give some love, share some love. Everybody needs some love, guys. The SYLproject.com. From the haunted back roads of America, This has been another G&D exclusive interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.